You're listening to the Fantasy Football Astronauts.
We are finally here, the kickoff episode of the 2021 season. We are the Fantasy Football Astronauts. I'm your host, Jetpack Galileo, and with me, Ryan Keeney. How are we doing, Ryan? Ready to roll?
Doing good. I'm really looking forward to the season, of course. It is very, very exciting that we're finally here. It's not really much else to say other than I feel like I can't believe we made it. It didn't really feel like we were going to make it for a while there. It's just been that sort of year, that sort of 2 years, really. So it's amazing to be in a situation where we've got fans semi-back in the stands. We'll see for how long in some areas. And we've got players who are mostly on the field, although we've got a few players out. So I guess we're going to be dealing with the effects of COVID this entire season again. But hey, light at the end of the tunnel. We're playing, which is great.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting. I think with it almost seems like the rules are a bit stricter as far as how intense they are, in terms of how many games you miss and all that stuff. So, it'll be interesting. I think backups are going to be really relevant. But of course, the one guy that didn't make it with us, or not one of the guys, but probably my favorite guy, Gus Bus, probably tore his ACL. We heard that news today. He did not make it into the season with us. And I honestly, I'm devastated. Gus is like one of my favorite players. And so I was, all high on him having his opportunity to show how good he was. And here we are. Now we have to watch Le'Veon Bell, which, I think that could be kind of fun from a nostalgia standpoint to see Le'Veon versus the Steelers mixing it up with Lamar. So I'm actually more excited. Than most people are about Le'Veon, but more in a as a fan standpoint rather than a fantasy investment. But yes, got the Gus Edwards news, really heartbreaking after the J.K. Dobbins loss. Where are you at on all this?
I guess it's just kind of devastating news once again, right? It's just kind of a repeat of two players that we've said have been extremely efficient in the run game for the Ravens, and we were just saying, wish one of them would get more work. J.K. Dobbins goes down. There's some hype about him. I think he led the league last year in yards per carry. That's right. And Gus was up there as well in terms of efficiency, like yards over expected, which is pretty impressive for the two players in that backfield to be so efficient. Of course, they weren't catching passes, but it's awful, man. It's like two of these guys pretty excited for Gus Edwards being semi-regulated by J.K. Dobbins last year, at least in terms of him being a fantasy-relevant player, even though he had broken out the year before. I guess we were hoping kind of for Gus Edwards 2.0, and that's just not going to happen. So yeah, it's pretty disappointing. I guess we got to look for the next man up in Baltimore, and I guess I'm not convinced that the players on the team at the moment. We've got Le'Veon Bell working out. They've brought in some other running backs, and so you can take some flyers on some of their backups. The third string running back there is okay, but honestly, I'm not convinced that looking at 2-3 weeks into the season, I bet you there's probably someone else on the roster that's maybe worthwhile as a flex play. How you feel?
Yeah. Something going on, I think, with the training staff there. Clearly, they're doing something wrong. Justice Hill, Achilles, JK. JK's, you can't really... I mean, that was a contact, straight on, direct hit. You can't really account for that. I don't know how Gus did it, but pretty brutal. So, I think, in my mind, Le'Veon Bell is actually worth a waiver wire pickup, and so I'm not going to spend a ton of free agent bucks on him or anything like that. I don't know that I would trade for him, but if you're in a league where you can pick him up at a low cost, under $10 or under 10% of your budget, I would do it. I think about like late career Frank Gore and what Greg Roman did with him and Colin Kaepernick, and there's some valuable volume there. Just overall, Tyson Williams is there, and I think he'll be relevant in that game. But just in terms of big picture, I'm not worried about Devonta Freeman. I think Le'Veon Bell in my mind, he could stand out a little bit. So he's worth the pickup for me. That's who I'd be targeting. But yeah, other than that, I'm not going to invest too much.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't see this situation as being one where, you know, it's a late round running back gold mine, you know, where you're right. able to pick a guy up with waivers and he's going to be running your team straight to the playoffs, kind of like a James Robinson last year, if you will. Definitely not that situation, or doesn't look to be that situation yet. So yeah, I'd say very limited. You know, if you can pick up Williams, you can pick up Bell. I think those are your two top options. You know, spend, you know, 5-10% maybe. That's if you're feeling confident in either one of those players.
Or if you have Cam Akers and J.K. Dobbins on your team.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, maybe then you're forced to spend up. So you have at least someone to start your first week. Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so I think the other big kind of scary news, at least on my end, was Tua not being voted captain. And so we talked about this earlier with Zach Wilson at BYU, how he was not voted captain and how obviously that dooms him for the rest of his NFL career and anything else, any other endeavor that he accomplishes or sets out to do in life. Obviously, he's going to be a complete failure. But I think that the news about Zach was a little bit overblown because he was a junior. And so only seniors can be voted captains at BYU. And so it didn't end up being a big deal. But in this case, with Tua, that is not so. So I think the big thing for me here is that if you have a starting quarterback and he has been your starting quarterback all off season, and you've been hearing maybe rumors here or there about Deshaun Watson, kind of literally every month there's a new rumor. But he's been in your room with you, in your building, running your practice, essentially. You know, taking care of 100 guys and then they cut down to 75 or they cut down to 53 or whatever, right? But he's the leader in that building, and the guys on the team who have been with him for 6+ months, they don't want to vote him captain. That's a screaming red flag. And so this, I think, will be my first official foray into the I'm not going to bet on quarterbacks that are not team captains if they were the starter, expected starter. So I'm out on Tua just for the sake of that being a gamble for me and being an entertainment kind of theme throughout the season. Out on Tua, not a team captain. Never pick guys that are team captains that are supposed to be starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So just I did double check for you. Zach Wilson was named a captain on the Jets. So hopefully, you know, confidence restored after you gave him such a hard time earlier in the offseason. Just want to let you guys know, listeners, we love this rookie QB class. We will get into it. We're big fans of it. But when it comes down to news and speculation and things like that, we will try to stay away from things. You know, if we draw the line, we say, okay, on one side of the line, Tua not being voted captain makes it on Jetpack's shortlist for some reason. I'm scratching my head, but that's a gray area. Yeah. We'll let him make that decision. Just to let you know, we won't be calling any police headquarters or whatever in Pittsburgh and calling in to ask for information on a case. So that won't be happening. And we won't be speculating and trying to see if these Reddit rumors are true or not. Regarding, you know, as they like to say, we can neither confirm nor deny that this player or that player, this running back in this case, can't say it was Swift, can't say it was not Swift, so maybe someone else. And we can't say it was someone who is respected in the fantasy industry. And we,
I don't think he is.
You know, we can't not confirm it, we can't deny it. But we won't be calling and reporting those things for you guys. I thought, I don't know. So I guess to give you a quick rundown here, there's a situation occurred in the fantasy space where someone did some excellent Twitter reporting and reported on a situation as a journalist, essentially from a fantasy football account. And of course, as fantasy football Twitter does, we had a field day on that just because we all like to pretend we're analysts, and we tend to be terrible, terrible journalists. because, well, we're not really journalists for the most part. And we like to call ourselves journalists in the sense that we write articles, but in terms of investigation and interviewing and going through this process and kind of knowing sources, definitely not our expertise. So it was pretty hilarious to see some of the community members put on that journalist hat for a day, try it out, and realize that it did not suit them. And now they're back to being just being called fantasy analysts. So fantasy journalist, definitely not me. Maybe if I joined The Athletic and I was actually reporting and interviewing players, I could give myself that hat. But I think I'll stick to analyst at this point in time. How about you, Jetpack? Do you want the journalist tag?
No, I'm not into that at all. I think the investigative work to figure out which player murdered who is a little bit too intense for me. The whole thing is kind of ridiculous, but I'm glad it's over. We can joke about it throughout the. We can joke about it through the rest of the season. To be determined, I guess, on DeAndre Swift and his.
We can't to confirm or deny. We can't confirm that was a player.
Let's move on to dynasty movers. We'll get into the real stuff that matters. So give me some players that you're trying to acquire now. Who are the moves? What are the moves that you're trying to make heading into the season?
Yeah, I think there's a couple players that jump to the top of my list. I'm going to highlight one player, which I think is being criminally undervalued, to stick with the theme here. And that is Denzel Mims. I think Denzel Mims is a solid player, and I'm not willing to give up on what we saw in college and what we saw through the draft process and what the Jets saw when they selected him last year. And that did flash on the field. And so I'm not willing to just say that the talent of Denzel Mims is somehow just gone, just vanished. I think it's still there, and I understand he's going to maybe have a tougher situation starting this year with Corey Davis there with some new competition. But really, that wide receiver depth chart isn't what we would call spectacular by any means. It's got some solid players in it, but nobody who is really a game-breaking player like a Denzel Mims can be in terms of just separating from cornerbacks. And I think Mims... maybe he can step more into that role. I don't know necessarily what's going on. I think he's dealing with some injuries a little earlier in the offseason, which kind of led to some of this, negative hype around Mims. So I would be taking advantage of that before he goes out and plays, just because I think we're going to be reminded that he's a solid player. And if you can get him for a third round pick and a rookie draft at this point in time, I think it's probably close to where he's being valued. I'd be happy to go pay that price and pick up Mims. He's essentially free in redraft leagues as well. So I think he's worth a stash. And all of a sudden he's seeing, the second most snaps out of that wide receiver group. You've got a situation where as Zach Wilson goes, Denzel Mims can go as well. So he's a player that I'm looking at just from a talent perspective that I'm not really willing to move on from yet. I'd say, go pick up Denzel Mims and see how it goes.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy for sure. With the Jets, the way they're running their team, I don't know. The offense, I think, is a big question mark as far as LaFleur goes and what they're going to be able to build there. So it seems like it's one of the, we talk about ambiguous wide receiver cores or position groups. One of those guys will step up and I think he'll be really valuable. So, the deal with Mims is like he's almost as costly to you as like a Van Jefferson. So, it's, all of a sudden this guy who showed all his potential, he's being faded to where he's basically free. So I got no problem with picking him up there. My guy is Dyami Brown. I'm pretty excited about him just from a prospect standpoint. I think he's a pretty good ball player. There were questions about, what does he do on these short and intermediate routes? It seems like he just catches deep balls all day. The fit with Ryan Fitzpatrick and being able to take those deep balls take those shots and throw them down to Brown. I think that's pretty exciting. But we've seen in camp, we've seen some clips of him making moves and being able to separate and work his releases a little bit more than what we might have seen at North Carolina. And so overall, I'm pretty excited about Dyami Brown. And I think part of why I'm in on him and think he's a good buy right now is because of Curtis Samuel's inability to stay healthy. So Curtis Samuel, he's been on the injury report kind of off and on throughout the offseason. And I think that basically Dyami's going to end up playing one of the outside receivers. Curtis is going to mix it up a little bit more in the slot. But Dyami will find a way onto the field just because I think Curtis is going to have a few injury issues. And when we're talking about an offense where I think they're gonna lean on Ryan Fitzpatrick a good amount because it's the first time they've had a reliable quarterback in a while. Reliable in like the general, obviously, reliable only means so much. But when you're, basically playing with a guy with one leg and you've got Kyle Allen, I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick is fairly reliable. But point being, Brown is going to be a good weapon for Fitz, and that ability to attack downfield paired with Terry McLaurin and all the free routes that he'll get, I'm pretty excited about him. So he's pretty cheap right now in drafts. I'm definitely picking him up.
Yeah, I like it. I think Dyami Brown is one of the players we profiled pretty well. Showed up reasonably well in our rookie guide. And just in terms of our evaluation of him, the questions that I had were primarily, can he be used or can he expand his skill set beyond what he was primarily asked to do at North Carolina, which was primarily deep routes where he wasn't actually seeing as a huge target share in that offense. And at least through the preseason, it looks like they're asking him to be much more diverse in what type of plays that he's able to run. And so if he's able to win in those other areas as well, it's really awesome for him. And sets him up for success immediately, being able to play and not just be limited to a deep threat role. So for me, I definitely agree. Dyami Brown is an interesting player to go acquire. I'm right there with you. So those are two guys we say go pick up before we start to see snaps taken in the off season or in the regular season here. We actually can see them on NFL field and putting up points. One thing I will point about Mims last year, we mentioned Van Jefferson. At least Mims had a couple games where he showed out and he had at least really good expected fantasy point numbers. Van Jefferson was just pretty awful all year. So at least Mims has done it on the NFL field. And that's a big reason why I'm kind of saying like the talent's there. We saw it last year. We saw him succeed. What's changed is my question. And I think very little. All right, so let's switch gears and let's talk about a few players that you should offload now. So players that you should trade away. So maybe players that are higher in value now, and we think their value is just going to decrease as the season goes on. So how about you?
Yeah, I've been trying to get rid of Mike Evans all offseason, I think. And we're seeing it tonight, right now. Antonio Brown lighting it up. He just scored a big bomb touchdown, but it's going to be the Antonio Brown show all season long. The love language between Tom Brady and Antonio Brown is actually really strong, and it's just really not the same with Mike Evans. So I think Mike's targets are going to be down all season. They're basically all going to go to AB because he's always open. And so he's a guy that I'm trying to get rid of because he's coming off of this wide receiver one season. He's like 28 years old. And so he's got good dynasty value right now where I think you can get some return from him, maybe for an RB2 or kind of mixing it up, putting him in a package for an RB2. So I am going to try to trade him away. I hope he scores a touchdown tonight, and then I will trade him as fast as I can.
Yeah, we've gone into Mike Evans pretty deeply on some prior episodes as being a candidate that we were not really understanding the redraft hype around, primarily just because his fantasy finishes have been driven off of just consistency over a full year. But if you have to look at his production and points per game, he's not really making a difference for your team in providing an edge in your weekly lineup. Okay. So a player for me, and this is more dynasty related, is Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers is should be pretty obvious, I think, for as a dynasty sell. But I think there's a moment now where people are kind of rebounded and they're starting to focus towards on the single season numbers. And Aaron Rodgers was playing at an MVP level last year. And to expect him to continue to do that with a team really that's still struggling with some injuries on the offensive line and really hasn't upgraded their pass catching options at all, although they still have, of course, Devontae Adams, which is, you know, maybe better than multiple teams' wide receivers scores put together just in one player. But you're talking about a player who's almost 40, who's talking about this being his last dance. Does that mean last dance in Green Bay? Does that mean, you know, he's going to play somewhere else? His play has been strong, and I would be selling him because you can get a really strong return on him, especially in super flex leagues, where you can package him together with a couple other players and go after, you know, even an RB1 or up and coming wide receiver if you would like. So for me, I'd be looking at selling Aaron Rodgers to a win now team. And taking, you know, the 80 to 90% production from another quarterback. I'll mention one other player here, and I think this is more of an interesting one because it kind of goes counterintuitive to a player that I've been looking to kind of acquire all offseason, and this is Zach Moss. So I think the writing is on the wall. We've seen a little bit more of Zach Moss in the preseason. And I was really hoping that we would just kind of luck our way into a situation where he could dominate that backfield in terms of touches and separate himself a little bit. Unfortunately, we have not seen himself separate at all, at least in preseason and training camp, from the rest of that backfield. And that backfield is not good. It is not a talented backfield. And so if you're not able to separate from that, I'm kind of saying, okay, maybe the opportunity for opportunity is there. But at this point, that's the only thing we can hang our hat on with Zach Moss. Zach Moss was extremely cheap during the offseason. I think his value is going up a little bit right now, especially with the injuries to some of the other running backs that are happening. Some people say, hey, Zach Moss is a starting running back. I need a starting running back. Go sell them Zach Moss and go get somebody who is actually talented and maybe not starting right away, or go look to turn that around and maybe get a second round pick or something like that in next year's draft.
I think that's great advice. We're already in a disparate situation. So you need some sort of guy that you can just like toss into the mix. And Zach Moss is like the perfect toss in player.
So 100% in on him. So I'd like you to get your opinion about a larger trade that went down in one of my leagues. Actually an Astro league, so competing against other Astros. This is a league where I joined last year, and I took over an orphan. So I've made some moves, and unfortunately my moves last year were to acquire some up-and-coming rookie running backs. And so I was extremely excited to kind of half tank last year and come into this year with an extremely strong running back core and some really awesome wide receiver depth. Unfortunately, the two rookie running backs that I had traded for happened to be J.K. Dobbins and Cam Akers. And so I have been just devastated this offseason. Another player approached me. He is looking to go after a championship at this point in time, looking for a quarterback one. I actually traded Aaron Rodgers, Zach Moss, and Amari Cooper. I don't really love giving up Amari Cooper, but he is 27, and he should be pretty good. I guess sell him at pretty good value here. For Goff, which don't love, but then Jamar Chase and Mixon. I think Mixon could have easily been in a player to we could have listed as an acquirer now. I think it's only a matter of time before Chase kind of figures it out. Being away from football for a year definitely seems like it's made him a little rusty, but maybe it doesn't seem like they're afraid to keep putting him out there, and he keeps on getting, you know, targeted. There's a reason he's making all these drops in the preseason. It's because he's getting the ball thrown to him, which is encouraging. So I think he's a too much of an obvious player to go acquire at this point, but I will mention it. I like getting Mixon here. I think we've mentioned it last podcast. This, you know, this is finally year for Mixon to take off. So I guess Jetpack, if you had to give this trade a rating, and remember, I'm coming from a position of suffering the worst running back injuries ever.
Don't worry, I don't think you need to justify it. I think this is a great trade.
I'm pretty happy where I ended up.
I think this is fantastic. Mixon is very young still. So I think he's 25 now, and so you know, you're looking at 3 more years of decent play. So yeah, I'm definitely into you being able to handle or pick up a running back one. And so just in the grand scheme of things, those guys are way more rare than whatever Amari Cooper is, whether that's a low end wide receiver one or whether that's in the high wide receiver two range. Essentially, that's all you're giving up here, because we're saying Zach Moss is more of just a you know, wild nobody. And then Aaron Rodgers is just a 1 year rental. So you're, you know, essentially trading Amari Cooper for Chase and Mixon. And I think that that's pretty exciting. Jamar Chase, I'm not too worried about in the long term. I think he'll end up figuring it out. Sounds like, you know, if you're coming to the NFL, you have some concentration issues and you want to blame the stripes on the ball, there's some deeper issues going on. I don't really know what else to add to that. There is some risk here with Jamar Chase that I think we might have, you know, we can't overlook, but at the same time, he's still worth the play and the drop in value that he's had. He was earlier, like last month, he was wide receiver 23, and then now he's down to like wide receiver 28, wide receiver 32 in that range. And that's a great, great range for him to be, totally worth buying there. And I think, you know, not really much long-term concern. He'll hopefully figure it out. But yeah, getting Mixon there, I think that's the big gem. If you're trading Amari Cooper for Mixon straight up, I would still do that. So, you know, that you gave away some other nobodies and then got Jamar Chase, I think that's a win. So nice job.
Yeah, I was pretty happy when he came back with an offer with that included Chase. It wasn't a player that I was initially targeting. Initially, I was kind of hoping just to trade a quarterback for Mixon, but I'm pretty happy making this extension of the trade as well. So yeah, semi interesting. It's a kind of involves some players that we were talking about offloading now. So unfortunately, our league mate will now hear this podcast and have regrets about it. But luckily, it's instant trades and there's no vetoes. So he will just have to live with his poor decisions.
So
we're
talking about one of our writers, Zach Zander, who's he's working with the fantasy team, putting together start sits and all that. So he's been awesome to have on the team. We really like him a lot, and he did pretty well in the league last year. So
unfortunately I can't talk too much about that because he'll put me in my place as soon as we play this season, because my team is toast with missing my two top running backs. But anyway, I have to give him, and I can win the trade, and then I'll lose, you know, every game. It's okay.
Lose the war.
I gotta take my wins where I can get them at this point here with this rebuild. Yeah. So yeah, I'm happy to sell a player like Rodgers, especially on the team with this dynasty, like the situation I'm in, where it's kind of looking at it where it's probably going to be a rebuild. To get good value for Rodgers at any point, if you're going to be doing kind of a retool, rebuild in the next 1 or 2 years, is something you have to do immediately. And I think Z twice, as we call him, is saw that and went after that and is trying to go win now. So I applaud him for being very persistent and pursuing me with a trade here, because he sent me a lot of nice offers that I countered. So happy we finally made one work out. But all right, so how do you want to transition here? We did something with all of our writers and all of our staff, all of our video producers, and we have some astronaut hot takes. So we do a competition every single year where we have our team come together and put their hottest takes on the table and wager galactic credits, which are just something we use internally at our company for motivation and vouchers
It's the most important currency, most valuable currency in the galaxy.
Yep. It's funny. We offer our writers money for the jobs that they do, but oftentimes they say no. We'd prefer if you paid us in this galactic credits. So we understand there is a strong desire for them. Luckily, it's kind of like Dogecoin. We just print them whenever we want. So we can keep that up. It'll be good. I thought it'd be fun to kind of bring in some of the hot takes that our writers did and that Jetpack did and I did and talk just about a couple of them here before we kind of jump into like our guys, our flag plant players. So
let me explain the game. Explain the format here. So
break it down.
The deal with the game is you come up with three bold predictions, and part of the challenge is you're betting to make sure that your predictions are right. And so the challenge is you need these to be bold enough, right? And so I've played this with smaller groups of people, and basically everybody gets around and they say, oh, that's acceptably bold or not. But in the format that we have now, we have like 20 writers. And so what we're doing is we're voting on which picks are the most bold. So you'll write your prediction, and then everybody else will determine, okay, which picks are the most bold. The more votes that you get, the more money that you risk and the more money that you gain in reward. So if your prediction hits, then you get the same amount of money according to the votes. And if your prediction is too bold or it was like stupid bold, then you lose a ton of money as well. So there's definitely a balance, right, of how I want to approach this. And I think that the slider or the way of evaluating these predictions with voting has been an exciting addition for me over the last couple of years. Last year we had a guy, Ben Stiefel, and his bold prediction was that Le'Veon Bell would lead the league in scrimmage yards. And so he lost a ton of galactic credits on that, because obviously that was insanely bold at the time. After I think he was he on the Jets and he got cut or something like that.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Found it. Yeah, I mean, amazing. But so there's
unfortunately
we do the
delay between the posting of the boldness or posting of the bold takes and then the voting on which takes are the boldest. Also bit me as well, because Leonard Fournette was on the he was still in Jacksonville, and I was looking at all that volume saying this guy can't possibly be outside the top 10 running backs on this volume, just like I don't know James Robinson was. My take was that he was going to return to the top 6 running backs, and then unfortunately he got cut and everybody then voted on mine and I died. So anyway, it can definitely bite you this year. Unfortunately this year, I also have another hot take in my queue that is being upvoted. That's making me a little nervous. I did not think it was going to be voted as high as it was. And that was, I said, Jared Cook would be a top 6 tight end. You have to realize here, on hot takes, I'm not here to play soft. Like this is like the, I think this is like got a 1 in at least 10 chance of happening. It is not likely. I do not think Jared Cook should be selecting the top 6 tight ends. But I think with the lack of other options there and Jared Cook stepping into that role, I can definitely see him playing that Hunter Henry role and just remaining healthy. And so if he does that, I think he's got a really good opportunity to be, you know, top 12, top 10, and possibably even top 5. Otherwise, I would say like top 5, top 6 is probably his ceiling just in terms of usage. But unfortunately, I don't like seeing that getting voted up so much because I know that's just a bigger possibility that that I'm going to be losing my coveted galactic credits. So I'll tell you my other two bold hot takes, which actually aren't being upvoted very much at all. So apparently they're not very hot, or there's some hotter ones out there. And that is, I said, Cortland Sutton, a player that is a player I will be planting my flag on, will be a top 12 wide receiver. I think he's just a great play. We've gone into Sutton in depth in past podcasts just about his production, even with some terrible players around him on the offense. I think he's got a great option to be in the top 12, and that will happen on the back of touchdowns. So I want to bet on a player like Sutton to score touchdowns. So I'm going to let that That's where I think it could happen. The next hot take that I had, my final hot take that I put into the voting pool, which was that I said three rookie quarterbacks will be in the top 12 points per game. So it's kind of not looking at end of year finish, but it's saying that at least three of them, so it's giving myself a little buffer, will be in the top 12 in points per game. So Fields, I think, will be in the top 12 once he starts. Lance as well. And then at that point, I only need Lawrence or possibly even Wilson to pull it off. So I think it's actually not, that one's not so bold. People are correctly not upvoting that one rapidly, unfortunately, like my Cook take. So how about you walk us through your hot takes, and then maybe you can give us a few that are coming in from the team, which we thought were maybe hilariously bad, and we'll get all the votes and they will lose all their credits.
Yeah, so my bold predictions for the season: Kyle Pitts, tight end, number one overall. That's over Travis Kelce. Ooh. That's over George Kittle. That's over Darren Waller. I think he's got Kelce. The opportunity to do that. So, yeah, I mean, really all it takes is an injury. But I am a big believer in the talent. I think it'll be the first time any rookie would ever have sniffed anything like that. But, yeah, he's got the opportunity to do it. And that's one of my bold predictions for the season. The other one, I think –
He's a wide receiver playing tight end. Exactly. Not just a rookie tight end.
It's got a legitimate chance.
Yep.
Yeah. Then I have Antonio Brown inside the top 15 wide receivers, Mike Evans outside the top 25. I think this is something I've been saying kind of all offseason. So this is something that I'm a pretty firm believer in. So I think it's bold because you don't see that in the ADP, and nobody has the courage to actually make that happen in terms of the way that they're going to be drafting or anything like that. But I do think that is pretty realistic. And then my third one is that Kyler Murray breaks the all-time quarterback points per game record. So the current record holder is Lamar Jackson in his 2019 season, where he threw 36 touchdowns and rushed for over 1,000 yards. That was 27.7 points per game. But he broke that the year after Patrick Mahomes broke the record in 2018. I think he had 50 touchdowns or something like that. And so Kyler Murray is on my list. I think Dak Prescott was actually the other guy I considered having up here because I think they're going to be throwing the ball a lot and all that stuff that we've talked about previously. But Kyler Murray is my pick because I do believe in the rushing upside that he holds. So I wanted one of these quarterbacks to break the points per game record this season, and I ended up going with Kyler just because I think, you know, they're adding all these weapons. The offense is ready to rock. Rondale Moore gives him a bunch of shovel pass touchdowns, and then he can just run the ball whenever he wants. So Kyler's a guy I'm excited about. I don't think defenses are necessarily going to be figuring him out in the sense of getting to see more exposure to him. I don't think that you necessarily come up with those same solutions. Just like nobody's really been able to figure out Russell Wilson, right? The mobility is always a threat. And if you have a guy that can squirm and wiggle and dodge, you know, it's pretty effective and pretty resilient in terms of scheme. So Kyler Murray is a guy that I'm choosing to lead the league in fantasy points and break the quarterback record.
Yeah, I love it. It's pretty good. I think you highlighted Dak there. Dak is a guy that I would have loved to kind of build a take around because I think he's really in such a good situation. Our own Jay Moyer thinks that he's going to pass for 7,000 yards or something like that. No, I'm just joking.
Yes. Jay's bold prediction is that he has Dak breaking the NFL passing yardage record. So I think that we're, you know, pretty big fans of that one. He gets an extra game. So I did mine off points per game. So mine's actually a legitimate risk. But his is, I mean, he's got a real shot at that. So the current points per game record is 5,447 yards, I believe, or maybe 74 yards. But that's Peyton Manning who owns that record. And I think that will probably be broken this season. I'm pretty sure, because you get an extra game, that's an extra 250, 300 yards. So somebody's going to do that. I think we'll probably have four or five quarterbacks over 5,000 yards. And I don't think that's ridiculous to say. We'll see.
Yeah, no,
so
I like it.
Some of the other fun predictions out here. Probably my favorite one is from Kevin Ray, who's one of our new writers. He's saying Mac Jones will have more rushing touchdowns than Russell Wilson, which is I love it so much. So many people have voted on that one. It's really, you know, I think that's probably the boldest one on here. Are there any others that stood out to you in terms of guys coming up with
predictions? Mike Davis by Tyler Hewitt as a top 10 running back is pretty close behind that one. It was pretty spicy. And then outside of that, unfortunately, my Jared Cook one, which people just want to make me lose points, which is annoying. Logan Dixon thinks Patrick Mahomes won't be a top 10 quarterback on the year.
I didn't see that.
So Logan is apparently just betting on injury. Which wow. I want to make a quick point here. So if you're ever doing these hot takes, and you're trying to be bold and you're trying to outbold your friends, you know, this is the sort of like how spicy of hot sauce can you eat? It's like you're not really enjoying yourself so much. You're just trying to see how much pain and suffering you can go through to claim that you are the best. And for some reason, Logan, I think, has gone a step too far in this case, and he's betting on an injury. However, I will say making bets where players will not be in the top 12 or top 10 or et cetera may feel like a hot take, but they're the easiest hot takes to get on. So they're actually like weak sauce. So if we had to give this actually like a hot sauce rating, it's definitely, you know, out of five, it's only like a two. Maybe a 1.5, because all your betting that needs to happen, a top 12 or Mahomes being not a top 10 QB, is just that he misses 2 to 3 games on the season. If he does that, he won't finish points per game, or points per game, of course, would be fine. But total points, he'll drop down quite a bit just based on missed time. So making these sort of takes, well, they're not allowed in my household. But Logan, you know, hasn't been going through this before. And so he's pretend bold, right? He's someone who's like, he's got the buffalo sauce, right? And he's like, I'm eating buffalo sauce. And he's like, it's super spicy wings. And you try a bite of it and you just kind of chuckle because he's like, put a little pepper on it, you know, a little cayenne. And he's like, he hasn't upped his pepper game. You know, he's still, you know, he's his bland diet. And he thinks he's living on the edge. It's like, you know, he's someone who grew up and it's like the spiciest thing he ever had in his life was Tabasco sauce. And you kind of feel bad for players like this just because, you know, they haven't been exposed to this risky high stakes world of bold takes before. And that's okay. He'll learn that these are easy, bold takes to make. Logan, I hope you hear this and you will understand. And I look forward to next year when you can actually, you know, take this to at least maybe a habanero level.
I like it. Yeah, it's safe to say it's not spicy enough for you, and that makes you a little salty. So
that's right.
The other one that really stood out to me that I love, Mark Ingram scores more rushing touchdowns than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, the irony is rich. The remembrance of the Clyde Edwards-Helaire season where he failed at the goal line so many times, that really resonates in people's minds. So I love this bold prediction. But now that those are out of the way, I just want to actually review some of the ones that our guys had last year that hit, because they do get to be pretty good. So we had of the ones that hit, Lamar Jackson, not top five quarterback. There's an example where he played the whole season and he was not a top five quarterback. That was a good hit. That was by Fox, who's now with the FF Collective. We had Michael Thomas not being a with the K. Yeah, Michael Thomas not being a top five wide receiver. There, of course, is your injury, and then Calvin Ridley being a top 10 receiver. Those were both nailed by Nick Pentecost. So again, to take a guy like who was wide receiver one and say, hey, he's not going to be a top five receiver, that's bold enough. But then to have also Calvin Ridley in the top 10, I think that was a pretty impressive hit by Nick. The other guy who won the most Galactic credits last season was Spotlight. And Spotlight correctly predicted that Antonio Gibson would finish in the top 24 running backs and that Alvin Kamara would be the RB1 overall. And I think to nail something as specific as player X is going to be position X or to say this guy is going to be RB1 overall, I think those are pretty bold takes where you can get specific, right? I mean, even with Jared Cook, you're saying, oh, he's up in this range. But he's being very specific about Alvin Kamara being RB1 overall. And so I am a fan of that. Those were the big ones. We also had Alex Edwards, who's on our team, and he's helping out with scouting and also some of the DFS stuff this season. But Alex had Justin Jefferson with the most receiving yards out of rookie wide receivers. And so that was obviously a standout play by him. I think he won on Justin Jefferson all season long, and that was a big hit. So, you know, some of these predictions, they are real, right? And they will hit. And I think that's the fun thing about it, is you try to make them within a range where it's possible, but enough to where you're winning money on them being bold enough. So a really fun game. Definitely, I think everybody should play before the season.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I think it's a really fun way to play. I like how it encourages a little risk reward, because you've got something you really believe in, you can stake it, and people will vote for it. You know, just like my Jared Cook take, it's probably a little too spicy. I don't want to risk 4x, you know, 5x galactic credits here on this bet. I would have been happy with 2 or 3. It's kind of what I was aiming for, 2 or 3x up or down. So maybe I should have lowered a little bit, maybe top 8. But that's just boring. I'm here to entertain. You know, I'm not here to win the most galactic credits. I gotta spend them, right? I gotta use them to entertain y'all. So
that's right.
That's right.
So okay. let's plant our flags. We'll start with quarterbacks. Who are guys that one high and one low that you're going to be planting your flag on this season?
Okay. So, high off the bat, it's pretty easy to say kind of anybody in the top tier, Holmes, Murray, Dak, those are like my three guys. I'll give you Dak as kind of being like the guy that I love having this year. And that's because I do buy into the idea that Dak can challenge for leading the league in receiving, in passing yards. And if you're getting a player like that, that's just unbelievable to have on your fantasy roster. He's got so many good weapons around him that I just don't see him set up in a position to fail. That offensive line is getting healthy, that they've got good running backs who can catch the ball out of the backfield. They've got two semi-serviceable tight ends and three excellent wide receivers. Some continuity with the head coach and play caller. So I think at Dak for me up top is just saying, like, you know, he belongs. He absolutely belongs, even though there's some concern about his shoulder. He belongs. He'll be fine. He's a top three, top four quarterback. And it's going to be right neck and neck and challenging in points per game versus Mahomes versus Murray. So that's my high guy that I'm a player that I'm really happy to get. I think is we can believe in, but that's not very kind of like flag planty, because everybody is drafting Dak pretty high. I will go out and I will say the guys that I'm going to plant a flag on lower on in the draft is not going to be just one player, but it's going to be all the rookie QBs. And I'm going to go specifically Fields. Here, but all the rookie QBs, we're already seeing it. We're seeing three of them starting right out of the gate. Lawrence, Mack, Wilson. We believe in Wilson. We believe in Mack. We believe in Lawrence. And of course, you know, you've heard us talk for hours on end about Fields and Lawrence. So I think these are, you know, this is going to be one of the, when it's all said and done, this is going to be one of the most special QB classes I think we've seen in a long time. We're going to have, you know, five of these guys that we're going to be talking about for years on end, and we're going to start to see it. I think maybe not initially. I think we'll start to see it with some of the players pretty well, but I think Zach Wilson, Fields, and Lance over the second half of the season are really going to take the league by storm, and it's really going to be a fun couple years to watch these guys battle it out. How about you? What do you have for QB?
Yeah, so my main guy that I'd plant my flag on is the guy we already mentioned, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I do think that this is going to be his year to show out. And they're a legitimate playoff caliber team, and so I'm pretty excited about him. This is probably the most talented wide receiver group that he's had since Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker. And if you remember that season, he was actually kind of fun to watch play. So yeah, I'm all in on Fitzpatrick. He is my last stand for quarterback two. So when I'm coming down the board, I would actually prefer to have him over Ben Roethlisberger, over Baker Mayfield. Kind of those are the ball players that he's being taken around. But I think that he could easily end up as a top 15 quarterback. So Fitzpatrick is my flag plant guy. In fantasy, you're not really worried about interceptions, and I think he's at the point of his career where he's not really worried about Taylor Heineke. So just let him play.
Yeah, it's a sneaky good team this year. I think, you know, if you're talking about players or teams that could make the playoffs and actually make some noise once they get there, they've got the defense, and now they have the offense and offensive weapons, especially adding Samuel, adding Dyami Brown in the offseason to round out that wide receiver core around Terry McLaurin. He's got a really fun situation, and he's got a defense on the other side of the ball that's going to give him opportunities to stay in games and get the ball back in his hands in favorable field position spots. So yeah, for me, Fitzy, I think is definitely a guy that I'm using to maybe, I call, you know, I mentioned before, like the bridge to the field, bridge to the Lance. Yeah. Fitzgerald is definitely the guy that I would like to have anchoring, really, that quarterback position down. All right, let's move on to running backs. I've got two players, high and low, for you guys that I'm saying I'm happy to draft ahead of ADP. And the first one is sort of hilarious if you kind of know my takes for the last couple of years, and that is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, fantasy analysts, we like to be semi-serious and we like to joke around that we're like, we love ADP and then we hate ADP. We don't hate players. And it's like, that just is such a terrible trope because you do end up disliking players, because if they do well, your brand diminishes, or in some cases, if a player does well, you get kind of associated with those players and you really, really start to cheer for them. When you're developing your ranks and things like that, of course, you need to kind of separate it. That's why we have kind of a team providing multi different perspectives here. Looking at his Clyde Edwards-Helaire production last year and the opportunity that he received, it's kind of top five really in the league, just in terms of what he's going to be able to see on a weekly basis and what sort of opportunity he should see. Last year, we kind of had the terrible touchdown luck, which was sort of humorous after a first couple weeks, maybe not so much if you were a Clyde Edwards-Helaire believer. But you know, this year it's very easily bounce back and go the other way. We've mentioned before, it would not surprise me, and maybe I should have made my bold take, is that Clyde Edwards-Helaire leads the all running backs in touchdowns. Definitely something that is well within the realm of possibility, just because he's operating on such an efficient offense. Really as kind of almost wide receiver three, honestly, behind Kelce and Hill. My running back down the board that I want to highlight here is really, there's any pick of some of the better wide receiving options at running back. And I'm going to pick a wide receiver, a really good wide back who's going to be seeing a role no matter what. And he's receiving back, and he's now playing with a quarterback that is not going to be rushing the ball at all. And that is James White. I think James White is an excellent play this year. We've got a lot of players ahead of him who we're trying to make the case for. And honestly, we're making a terrible case for them because they're not very good. Harris, some of the other players ahead of James White aren't very good. If they aren't able to kind of capitalize on the opportunity in the rushing game, they're definitely not going to capitalize on the opportunity in the receiving game like James White. James White, again, set up for someone who can take third down role, can take a significant number of plays, even on second downs, from these other running backs if they're not getting the job done. And if he's getting into that 40-50% rush share opportunity and he's building on a 10% plus target opportunity, which he can do with Mac Jones being an absolute anchor back there, not being able to rush at all, although he is semi-mobile at avoiding the rush, that's good.
He'll have more rushing touchdowns than Russell Wilson.
Yeah, that's not happening. But But James White might. And that's because I think James White looks sets his setup into be a perfect opportunity where, you know, would it surprise you if Mac Jones turns out to be sort of like the next Philip Rivers? And that would mean James White is set up
great
for
comp.
Success.
That's where
I'm sitting here. I think that would be a great success for Mac Jones to kind of be in that area. And if Mac isn't mobile in the sense that he's not going to be rushing, that just gives more and more opportunities to these players like a James White. So I would like to have James White on all my teams. You can use a start him in a flex, and if there's some ambiguity in front of him, injury or something like that, he instantly becomes like an RB2 for your team each and every week.
Yeah, I love that. So we were in our best ball NFL side draft, and it's campus to Canton, so it's all dynasty. And you get to like the 20th round, and James White and Giovanni Bernard are both sitting there, and I think that they're good values even in dynasty because yeah, they're 29 years old and all this stuff, but I think they can have pretty solid seasons this year. Giovanni Bernard is a guy that I'm interested in, and you know, in part because you figure Brady's going to be throwing the ball all off season, so Bernard is probably my like real deep sleeper for running backs, and I think he'll end up having a little bit of relevance. Not really a guy that I would necessarily pay up for, but a guy that if I'm in a deep league and I'm playing like 18 on my roster, I'd probably want him on my like 18th spot. You know, now I think with the news about Latavius Murray being cut, I'm also a fan of Tony Jones. He actually looked pretty good in this preseason. And so even though he's a player that didn't really test well, I thought he was pretty impressive at Notre Dame and he had some good runs. And so you can look at him analytically and not get too excited in terms of his college profile and all that stuff that, you know, goes into that drafting. But it says something that they decided to cut Latavius Murray and that Tony Jones is going to be the guy to help Alvin Kamara out. And so I think Tony Jones will end up being relevant in some way. And so he's a guy that I want to make sure that I get some contact with if I'm, you know, maybe trading for a guy or finding a way to sneak him onto my squad somehow. The other guy that I would have planted my flag on in the summer that I'm planting my flag on once again, it's James Robinson. Of course, he's back. He's ready to rock. And so we're all excited about another James Robinson RB1 season that is upon us right now. So those are my running backs. Let's show me your wide receivers. Who are you dealing with here?
Yeah, so I've got actually three players for you kind of spread out through ADP just to kind of give you a feel for who I'm higher on. And the first player is Allen Robinson. I think Allen Robinson has a legitimate chance to be top five and possibly even challenged for being the number one wide receiver in the NFL in points per game or just overall. Wide receiver one in the league. Yeah, there's not very many players you can say that about. Allen Robinson, you know, if we're looking back over the last couple of years, he's had over seven games at expected fantasy points of 20 plus. He's a guy who's just been providing elite production on a yearly basis. And now we're going to see that start to shift from just opportunity to actually maybe the talent being there at the quarterback position to actually convert those points and give him even more opportunity just in terms of plays. So plays run in better position. So for me, Allen Robinson is the guy that I would say is just absolute great player. And it's easy to say he's going to be one of the better situations in his career so far. And so it seems like a no-brainer for him to be kind of guy that I'm planting my flag on as being one of the best players in the league. Cortland Sutton's the other guy I've got for you guys here, kind of mid-range. Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, I actually kind of like them both. Jerry Jeudy a little bit more after kind of going through the numbers. I think Cortland Sutton, though, is a guy I'd be willing to make more of a bet on just because his spot has been suppressed, mainly due to some of the injury concerns coming into the preseason, and he wasn't looking so sharp in some of the games. But to be expected, right, when we don't play for a while. To see him start to step it up towards the end of the preseason, feeling more and more confident, to say that Cortland Sutton is set up to be a player that could be wide receiver one in the league, and especially in fantasy, just kind of has to go with however that quarterback position will go in Denver. So if Bridgewater can be serviceable, which he showed that he could be last year, he actually supported a couple of decent players out of Carolina. Anderson and DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel were all actually pretty playable in fantasy. And if that's going to be more concentrated between Fant and Sutton and Judy, I think we can see kind of and expect the same thing. And so that means Cortland Sutton could be borderline top 12 wide receiver upside. And I think that's something I'm buying into just in terms of the talent is back. And we're going to be reminded of that this year. The third player I've already mentioned is Denzel Mims. It just purely based on the fact that we've seen him succeed in the NFL already. And I still am yet to see anything surface that would make me, you know, change my belief and say that that is just not the case. So he was successful when he saw the field at different points last year when he was healthy. I mentioned in some of my reviews that it did seem that he was missing some of that burst that some of his testing numbers would have indicated. So maybe some that could be, you know, if that's kind of weighing him down from the injuries last year and it's still affecting his game, that could be an issue. But I still think the talent is there. He was able to win in man coverage and find spots in zones just fine. So he's a player that I'm willing to pick up. He's a player that I want stashed on my bench in most leagues, especially because there's a situation where all of a sudden he's, you know, number one, number two target on that offense. And if Zach Wilson turns out to be halfway decent like we think he will, he'll be a great play. He'll be a great value for you, especially in redraft or something like that. How about your wide receivers, Jetpack?
Well, yeah, I will say Cortland Sutton, I think, is a guy that you've been on all offseason. And so, Vic Fangio came out and said, hey, he's turned a corner with his knee, and I think that's pretty exciting. So I'm with you on Sutton making the turnaround. The other thing, too, about the ACLs is that when you're a year out, usually you're actually doing pretty well. It's not too much of a, you know, something where it's going to nag you the whole time. And so because his injury was, I think it was week one or week two, you know, he's got a full year to recover. And so, you know, to hear that he's there right now and feeling pretty good, it's not a surprise. He did look more explosive, I think, in the last game that we saw. I'm ready for Cortland Sutton to have a pretty good season. He can totally outperform where he's available right now. So I think he's in the 30s range, 30s, 40s even. Definitely like that Sutton pick. For me, at the top end of the wide receiver group, Terry McLaurin is my guy there. I'm with you on Allen Robinson for sure, but I didn't want to repeat. Terry McLaurin, though, I think he'll have a stud season. So I like where he's going in his wide receiver 9 to 12 range, but I think he has the potential to even be a top 2 or 3 wide receiver guy. Definitely excited for Terry McLaurin. I think this is going to be a big year for him. The other guys that I'm a fan of, obviously AB, I'm not going to say any more about AB. He's going to be great. And then, Devonta Smith he's not really a sleeper in any category, right? He just won the Heisman and all this stuff, but I think he's being undervalued pretty significantly. I'm at the point in my redraft life where I would be willing to take Devonta Smith over Jamar Chase. That changed significantly over the last few weeks for me. But Devonta Smith is my top rookie wide receiver right now for this season. And I am a big fan. I think he's going to be owning all of the volume in Philadelphia. And maybe they're not going to pass as much as they would if they had Carson Wentz. But I think with Jalen Hurts, he'll be functional in terms of the overall passing volume. And Devonta Smith is going to be the guy there, which I'm pretty excited about. One of our bold predictions from a big wide receiver guy, it was actually that Quez Watkins would lead the group in receiving yardage. That's pretty interesting. But in terms of the overall conversation, though, I think that we'll see Devonta take over a 22, 24, like higher than those numbers in terms of target share. So it's going to be Devonta's, you know, as long as Devonta's healthy, it's going to belong to him. But to fade Jalen Reagor that way and to have Quez Watkins up there, I'm actually not bothered by it. I think Quez might might show out. And so if you're looking for like a real deep sleeper, Quez might be an interesting target. Yeah. There's a lot of good guys down there.
If it's not going to be, it's not going to be Smith, it's going to be Fulgham, right?
No, Fulgham's out.
I'm just messing.
That was such a bummer, huh? He came on. He actually looked really good, and then
it was so weird.
After three games, then all of a sudden he just like was legitimately not good. He kept like was dropping the ball, concentration issues, got sloppy. It was really interesting to see. Because honestly, the film lied on him, and that's a pretty rare thing to see. So that was Travis Fulgham last season, where he kind of broke out. It looked really good, and then all of a sudden he just totally dropped off in play. But anyways, Quez Watkins, I think, is a guy that a lot of guys on our team like. And then just in terms of wide receivers that don't get talked out about enough, I think the Raiders wide receivers are really interesting because they're all super cheap, and I imagine one of them has to be good. So I actually liked Ruggs a decent amount in terms of like I thought he was fair value last season. I think he's fair value again. I think he's fine to bet on. I'm looking for like a Marquise Brown type season from him, where we're over 700 yards, maybe in the 900 yard range, kind of up to there. But Ruggs would be kind of interesting if he performed well. And then Bryan Edwards, I think, is another guy that I liked last offseason, just in terms of what he's able to do and his physical play, and he's gotten a lot of hype. And so to see him, be available in the wide receiver 40s, I think both of those guys are interesting plays. I would have right now Bryan Edwards ahead of Ruggs just because the camp news on Edwards is a little bit more excited. But I am interested in both those guys way late in the draft.
Yeah, they're good. They're interesting. I think Bryan Edwards is, we talk about someone who sort of left for dead last year. He's definitely set himself up for maybe redeeming himself. But if I'm picking the best wide receiver and on the Raiders, I'm actually going to be picking their tight end, Darren Waller. He's a player that I'm kind of saying, we're going to be expecting the same level of production that we saw last year, possibly even improving if it's crazy enough to think about it. Darren Waller had a 29% target share last year and 71 air yards per game, which is pretty crazy impressive. That's first in target share and second only to Kelsey in air yards per game. It was a fantastic season, and in terms of expected fantasy points, was just barely behind Kelsey. Of course, Kelsey was a little bit more efficient than Waller was, just because when you have Patrick Mahomes, that tends to happen. And Kelsey is also very, very good. So I think Waller, the tight end up top that I say is going to be, has a possibility to challenge and even be the number one tight end. It would not surprise me if Waller kind of takes that crown from Kelsey this year. Definitely someone who really, in the situation in terms of target share and opportunity, could not be, any better. It's going to be pretty awesome for him. Just in terms of some other players, kind of further down the board, my kind of late round guy that I want to highlight here is Jared Cook. Jared Cook is set up for success. I think he's still a decent enough player. I know he's getting up there in age, a little long in the tooth. But he's a solid player. And if he's there and he's available, he's going to be seeing a reasonable target share. You can expect anywhere from 15 to 20% target share for him. Hunter Henry was at 18% last year. I think that's right. Scheduling him for very, very close to a Hunter Henry level performance, talking about 11, 10 expected fantasy points per game. That's something Jared Cook can do. And if touchdown luck kind of goes his way, if he's kind of more of the red zone option there, which he could be, then he's someone who could fall into, 6-8 touchdowns on the year. And would put him very easily well above the spot where he's being drafted. So I'm saying kind of two things with this pick. I'm saying, I think I like this offense to kind of take a step forward. And I see some opportunities with them losing some wide receivers this offseason for Cook to kind of step in and see maybe even a Hunter Henry level production kind of going forward. So I'm happy to draft him as kind of a Hunter Henry light this year. Or kind of in that range.
No, I like it. My guy is Mike Gesicki. I think just in terms of the overall, we're very excited about these Dolphins receivers, and we've said kind of, I think Tua is going to take a step forward just in general. But Mike is going to be relevant in fantasy, and his ADP was like tight end 13. And so, like, if we're picking between like a Tyler Higbee and him, I'd much rather have Gesicki. So I'm reaching a little bit on Gesicki, and I think he's young. And so, especially in terms of dynasty, Gesicki is a guy that I want to at least play a bet on, because he'll be attached to Tua for a bit, or he'll be attached to at least a decent quarterback, or at least what they're trying to build there. He'll be involved, and he's very young. So Gesicki is a guy that I'm a fan of. I think he's going to perform well, and the volume will be there. I think it's easy, again, to be like, oh, look at all these receivers, and then forget a team like the Dolphins, they're going to want a tight end on the field. So Gesicki is my pick there. That would be the only other like really late deep options that I have excitement for. In Dynasty, I'm really excited about Jacob Harris. I think he's got like a ton of potential. His athletic measurables are insane. He looks like Mike Evans and kind of plays like Mike Evans. And so he's more of a wide receiver. And if Jacob Harris gets on the field and if he figures it out at all, people are going to be in trouble, because this will be the next kind of like Darren Waller type player. So I know he's already 24 years old and all this stuff and late breakout and, you know, say what you want about that college profile. He costs nothing in dynasty leagues. I'm reaching pretty significantly on him when we get to that back end of the drafts. And so, you know, if we get excited about Gerald Everett last season, because he's the tight end two in a Sean McVay offense, I think Jacob Harris is a guy that we can be pretty excited about. So he would be my like deep dynasty stash. I don't think he's going to be great this season, you know, specifically, but we could see something where like by midseason, he's kind of figured out what the NFL game is like, and he's on the field for all of the big slot snaps where the tight end is split out wide or split out away from the end line. Jacob Harris could take those snaps over Tyler Higbee. He's much more talented, much more explosive. So he's a guy that I'm betting on.
Yeah, I love it. Very good. Yeah, Mike Gesicki would be a good pick for a number of my fantasy teams. He was a guy I was kind of a little higher on last year, and unfortunately had kind of was forced to cool off on. So to see Mike Gesicki kind of top of mind for you is encouraging for me. He's definitely a guy that I think we had a lot of promise for last year, and maybe just going to be a year delayed on the breakout.
Right on. Yeah, I think we're ready to roll for the season. That is plenty of flags have been planted. The bold predictions have been made. I think we're ready to rock. And obviously Antonio Brown's having a great night tonight. So I'm probably going to win some money on the DraftKings. So pretty excited there. Any other comments before we head out of here?
We are fantasy analysts. Enjoy the season. Welcome back. It's awesome. It's awesome that it's here. And let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to start getting our astronaut writers on to the podcast. And so you guys will be getting to meet some of the guys that are helping build what we're working on this whole season. So excited just for the content that we're going to be pushing out. I would make sure to subscribe to our YouTube. There's going to be college info going on there. A lot of draft breakdown videos being made. And then our writers are getting more into the college football and C2C campus to Canton type space. And so you're going to want to stay up to date on all the things that are happening with these young guys. And you'll get to know the names earlier. And a lot of, I would say probably the most important thing in terms of how you're understanding dynasty values is to be able to identify players early. So our team is definitely going to help you do that. We'll also be working on NFL stuff, of course, throughout the season. But now we are becoming more comprehensive, everything football all the time. Very excited there with the Campus of Canton team. But yeah, you'll be getting to meet some more of our writers. Very excited about the season. Ready to roll. We are the Fantasy Football Astronauts, and we are blasting off again.